Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
It's so hard to be a lazy comic. You just can't
be. You can't be. Well, it's not hard to be.
It's very easy to be a lazy comic.
It's easy to stay up till 2 a.m., do a show, get home at 3, watch an hour of TV, jerk off.
Yeah.
Watch more TV.
I have to schedule jerking off in my schedule.
Do you really?
Yeah. I have to be like,
wow.
How weird is that?
That's how you know things are going well, though, I think.
Yeah.
When you just don't have time.
I've started to do that, too. I'm like, hey, man, got to pencil out some time for myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some me time.
Some me time.
Spank time, dude.
That
should be a t-shirt. Spank time.
Spank time?
Just some guy shutting the door looking creepy. Great view out there, huh?
Thanks, man. Yeah, nice little pool.
It's so great.
You know, when I first walked in, I've said this before, I walked in, there's a little gazebo area over there too, and I was like, man, I'm going to read out there every day. Like, I'm going to get back into reading. I'm going to buy books. I'm going to get all the Harry Potters. I'm going to read stuff that's just not, you know, that's out of character.
Yeah, like One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, the classics.
I read that. No, that's every night before I go to bed.
No, but, like,
that's what I jerk off to.
That's your me time.
Yeah.
Yeah, blue fish. Wait, look at that blue fish.
Now, the book or the movie?
I prefer the book. prefer the book.
It lets your imagination run a little more wild when you get the book.
For sure.
Yeah.
Are you a big reader?
No, I never have been. I read all the required ones for school.
The ghost is saying he likes to
read. Like that Adam
the ghost
Ray's...
gets mad when you beat off.
Adam Ray's lamp is going all Haunted Mansion on us right now.
And I just touched the fucking light bulb.
Oh, that had to hurt, huh?
That hurt a lot.
I can hear the fur burning.
You can hear
that. I can hear the I said that.
I thought you were going to make some Jewish like burning joke.
No, I wasn't.
No, Sam Tripoli's classy, Adam Ray.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go with that.
Yeah, he goes with the fur burning. Which I think is Eli Roth's new horror movie.
Fur burning?
Yeah, the fur burning.
It's also like when a waxing of a really hairy vagina went poorly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The fur burning.
That's got. I mean, I'm Armenian. We have Armenian. I mean, they got to spend yearly anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 on waxing. They have to drop some serious cash on that.
You know how we have like we have to now schedule our masturbation time.
Yes.
Like that's the Armenian thing for life. It's like no, okay, from noon to 4.
Yeah.
I have waxing.
Yeah.
And then after that, then we go out. Then we do. What's the thing with the pipe? Hookah.
We hookah. We do hummus. We do hookah. We do waxing. Now, you're pretty furry, right?
No hairy back.
But you got some fur.
Yeah. I mean, and some... But I don't feel like an excessive amount.
No, I'm a furry. I don't have a lot on my back.
Yeah.
I'm furry here. But I like when I shave, by the end of the day...
Yeah, totally.
It's still... You can see... Now, if you're a chick and you're waxing... How much does that suck when you wax it and then literally, like, 3 hours later, there is a 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah.
That's got to suck. It's a constant battle.
That's just one of many things I think about having to, the upkeep of being a woman.
Adam's flirting with changing, so he's taking stock.
That's what you got to think about.
I've got a good friend that made the change.
No shit?
Yeah.
You know someone that did it?
What, from Pepsi to Coke?
Hilarious.
Come on.
If that's how you want to decode it.
Yeah.
By the way, that's how the transgender community breaks it down.
What's your take on tranny?
They go,
you don't like the word?
They go, I'm going from Coke to Pepsi. And they're like, from Fanta to Fresca? There's all sorts of levels.
That's how deep you go.
Yeah.
That's from really deep shit.
From Minute Maid to Orange Crush?
Oh, man.
That's some deep, deep shit.
Mountain Dew to Surge?
That's nice. Gotta be.
Oh yeah, I brought back Surge.
That sounds like Craigslist code, doesn't it? Looking for some Surge, maybe some Fent, and cops are like, "What are they talking about?
I don't know.
They can't love soda that much.
It's gotta be illegal."
Are these kids in the eighth grade? No, tranny. Well, I have a joke about, and it's, you know, it's it's a real joke. Like, it really, even though it sounds like just kind of like what I say, and I did it on Ferguson, and they made me change tranny's ass to transvestite's butt. And I was like, okay, I'll, like,
so
whatever.
Weird.
But I got an email, by the way, from somebody. And wait, we talked about this with
yeah,
Pete
with,
Holmes.
Yeah, with a.
And
yeah,
I couldn't
yeah,
find
Holmes.
The email, but yeah, just about how
they appreciated it.
No, the woman was no. She was just like, why would you make fun of that? Why would you use that word? Like, that was awful. You're a comedian. I know you think you can make fun of anything, but like that was. And I'm like, first of all, I wasn't making fun of it.
Yeah.
If anything, I was celebrating. What you got, because the joke I'd say, like, you know, in LA, looking like my second week living here, Santa Monica and Highland, where that donut shop is.
Oh, yeah.
That's
donut like, time.
Dude, donut time.
They're LA Hollywood.
The smell of apple fritters makes transvestites want to bump
they
in
love-
mind all night long.
For sure.
It's their fucking.
They literally
Montel
love cream pies.
Jordan. They're not even hearing
well,
music. They just the smell of fucking, you know, mini donut rolls,
Bear claws.
So I go, it's tough to meet him because you look out the window, you see really hot girl. And
there's
and,
three out there.
Yeah, right in my pool right now.
Oh, it's great.
Transvestites?
No, just hot okay. chicks.
You know what's the creepiest thing to do, by the way, looking at that pool, is stand in my kitchen because you have the window looks right out on the pool.
Yeah.
So when you're like, the first time I was like cleaning a dish and I'm looking out and I was just like, I couldn't stop watching.
It's so hard.
And then
right?
I was like, I got to like close my eyes or like stop cleaning this dish.
It's like that moment from Tommy Boy.
That's so funny.
It was. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And then and then I popped in. What are you doing?
Every now and then there's this creepy Russian guy that lives in the building that I haven't gotten his name yet, but I've had two exchanges.
It's Boris.
One where
it's got to be Boris.
Yeah.
One exchange where we crossed each other. Boris. We crossed each other at the gate, and he was like, "Hey," and I was like, "Eh," and I kind of like conformed to his Russian. And I kind of instead of me just going like, "What's up?" I went, right back to him. And then another time when there was a very sweet gay man who lives here who when I first moved in was trying to tell me about the apartment party that was happening. And there was no complex party, but he was like, hey, you're new here, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, there's a complex shindig tomorrow night. You got to be there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm moving in right now. As you can see, the movers behind me. Like, I mean, I'm sure, will there be a sign for it?
Oh, you're doing great when you got movers too, yeah. Adam Ray. That's some great shit. When you got
dude,
movers,
I'm helping
dude?
A lot.
He's
by the way,
up in the world.
Can I say something here? And I'm all over the place a little bit, but
we'll focus. It's
but
okay.
The movers, two very well in shape black dudes, and I smoked a couple joints before I like was going back and forth with them, riding with them, helping them. I tried to help them at one point, and one of the dudes who's been doing it for like 40 years goes, "Tell me what you need. I'm gonna do it because right now you're in the way." And
oh.
I was like, "Oh shit!" I go, "I just feel bad. I feel like I want to help because I'm not used to the people doing this for me." And he's like, "You're in the way. Tell me what you need. I get it done." And I was like,
"Magic Johnson
cool, man.
Moved you in."
But then why? By the way, Lakers by 5. Yeah. We'll be right back with the key of halftime.
I no longer have the HIV virus.
So he's not coming on the podcast. And so this is what was trippy about it, being high and watching them lift my shit. It was the closest thing I started to feel like. Hints of like I don't know slave type shit, man.
Because you have black people
really?
Yes,
doing
man.
Stuff for you.
I was high. I think the paranoia of being high and watching
that's
them lift
it.
This shit, and the fact that I couldn't help, I felt very.
But you were paying them, right?
Yes.
Okay, then that goes out the door. I mean,
so you're fine.
You're paying them, dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's your problem. You didn't get open micers to do it for you. That's the point of being a headliner.
Exactly.
Is that you? Hey, I got a gig
in
Ventura.
Want some time?
You
want
to play a Harbor? Move this couch.
Ventura Harbor Comedy Club.
I like it, man. I like that club.
Go back to the gay guy. So
the gay guy's trying to get. He's giving. Tell me about the party, and then the Russian guy walks by, and the gay guy tried to tell him about the party. And he just wasn't having it. He's like, oh, and then he was like, hey, and also do you live here too, right? There's a shindig going on. You'll see some flyers that we're going to do. And he was just like, I don't do.
That's so weird.
I don't do. And then he kept walking.
Yeah.
And I want to be like, you don't do the do and pull out the surge and be like, are you going from tranny to fanny?
I just don't get, just some people just, when it comes to homophobia, they're just so weirded out. And it's just.
Right.
I don't get it. I just don't. And it's maybe because I live in LA, but I don't ever remember being that guy that had a problem. I don't see what the issue is.
With what?
With somebody being gay. I just can't understand that.
It blows to have. No, I mean, and I guess you've heard comedians do jokes about like if you do have a problem with it, there's something going on with you. And
there has got to be something to that. There's got to be some, I mean, that must mean there's a lot of closeted gay people, right? There's like whole states.
Oh,
like,
whole state.
The whole state of Alabama, their flag should just be in a closet door.
I just heard about like all these rappers that people were saying are like gay. And
I've heard
like
that
Atlanta,
a lot.
Like a lot of like the Atlanta rap scene is like.
I've heard that about a lot of like big name
P.
ones
Diddy
too.
Yeah, like obviously like, you know. I'm sure I heard it at the comedy store at 3 in the morning. Somebody's been like, you know, P. Diddy's gay. And I'm
I've heard that. I've heard Jay-Z.
Jesus. I mean, who knows, though?
Yeah, but only are they that afraid to, like, that the whole...
But I don't feel like you have to come out. I think it should be, like, you should have the if you want to come out, you should be able to. But I also, I think it should get to the point where what you do in the bedroom should be about... As important as what you do at the gym. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It should never. It
Your workout regimen. Like, no one knows.
You
it.
Have
like,
to make it a big deal now because it is like the one of the last forms of prejudice that's pretty much acceptable. Like
working out, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I mean, people with six pack abs just can't get a break around here. But it's like, so I can understand. But if someone doesn't want to come out, meaning it, they don't want to be it to define them.
Yeah,
I can respect that too.
Well, because. I thought one of the best ways anyone came out was when Anderson Cooper came out, when someone said, hey, so what do you mean to say about the rumors about your homosexuality? He goes, what do you mean rumors? I'm gay.
Yeah, let's
He's
move
like,
on.
Yeah, what about it?
Nice.
And he just totally diffused the entire situation. Like, you're dumb for even asking me that question.
Yeah,
perfect.
I mean, that's just who, I don't know, maybe I'm a weird person myself. I like weird shit. So I just don't see
you do like issue. Weird shit.
I do. I'm into weird shit.
You've done a beautiful job of combining the porn and the comedy world with your naughty shit.
Well, let's. I mean,
I'd like to get into that.
Yeah, I'm gonna read your credits right now that I got from IMDb. Okay,
I hope people are updating them. I couldn't give two rats ass. I am so unorganized. I'm listening to you talk. I'm like, this guy's got it going on. I couldn't give a rat's ass.
Your credits include live nude comedy, The Naughty Show, The Sex Awards, Stripper's Guide to Fighting Terrorism, live nude. Girls, like there's a theme here.
Craig Ferguson like five times.
Yeah, I've done Ferguson twice. Yeah. I did Ferguson twice. You know, I've done cable. I've done network. I've done it all. I just
I don't
necessarily update anything because I just like I like doing what I like doing.
Yeah.
And you like whores, Sam Tripoli.
I do. I like women who get it. That's how I call it. I don't want to call them sluts, whores. I go women who get it.
Yes. Who I know what
we
you
live
mean
in
by
an amazing time mm-hmm. that women, it's just like there's statistic teenage pregnancy, not that I hook up with teenagers, down 40%. We live in an amazing time where there's no more shunning and all that stuff, and women can do what they want to do, and I think it's pretty great. My biggest mistake is I let people define what the Naughty Show, which was a porno show. And you're like, well, Sam, there's porn stars in it. But like, if
it was
you look
not at all. That's the last thing I would actually
yeah,
say.
I've
it was
done
a
it. Bit,
yeah,
not.
But most people are like, oh, you knew a porn show. It's like there's one porn star and like four comics, five comics, character actors, burlesque dancers, pole dancers, not like weird shooting ping pongs out of their woo-woos, but like legit like. Soon will be Olympic sport pole dancing.
Yes.
I that's my honest opinion.
Yes, it should be, because I've been to some of these clubs where you're like, all right, that you should be being paid way more
also,
to do that.
Also, 100%.
The gymnastics is already semi-erotic with those outfits.
Yes.
Like,
you got to give us something to not feel guilty about our boners, right?
Yeah, and guess what? Right. I'm not going to watch, you know, ice curling and have them be wearing some fucking sexy, you know, booby outfit. Like,
yeah, there's some ridiculous sports in the Olympics.
Those losers, man.
Yeah.
Did you see that ass
did
on
you
that
see,
loser?
Did you see the camel toe on the loser as she went by at 120 miles an hour?
That's a great sport. I don't know why that. That's not bigger.
Yeah, it's
Luging is so bad. I don't know why like Iceland doesn't just have like that's their mode of transportation.
Everywhere.
Right?
Like, oh, hey, mom, dad, hey, I'm off to school. Grab your luge, honey. Yeah. I'm trying to do an Iceland accent. I have no idea what the fuck it is.
You started doing Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, grab your luge, honey.
grab your luge. I'm on down the mountain.
I don't know. I don't
I'm
know what
go
Iceland accent
some
is.
Money.
I had another girl say something to me about it. Like, oh, my God, I don't know how your girlfriend would put up with all these. You're around all these porn stars and strippers. And here's the thing. Never hooked up with one of them. Mm-hmm. Not once. It just, it's not. It's
you can't. It's professional.
It's, I just like the underground. Do you, I mean, I'm a little older than you guys, maybe
no,
more older
but,
than
but I know what you mean by that.
Do you know, you like, do you remember the movie The Warriors?
Yeah.
Okay,
Warriors come
Warriors.
Out to play.
Yeah. The beginning of that movie where the guy is like, yeah. Can you dig it? Where what he tries to bring, and this is going to sound crazy, he tries to bring all the underground or the outlaws together.
Right.
That's what the Tonight Show was meant to be. All those late night rock and rollers who couldn't get on the Tonight Show and all that stuff, they come under one roof and really blow doors off of people. And I just let it become defined as some porn show, which I never wanted it to be, because if you look at the audience, like, more than half my audience is female.
Yeah.
And people would think it was just guys beating off in, like, some in some weird gay porn theater, like, on Santa Monica, which I want to do a show there one day.
Oh, sure.
Just the spirits of dead gay. I just think it would be so hilarious. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm assuming it's a giant room, and you just walk in there and do a fucking show there. How funny would that fucking be?
That'd be great.
Oh, my God.
Why they play Devil as a Bottom behind you. It would be hilarious.
You know what I love about the Naughty Show? That if you haven't seen it, and when it comes to a city near you, you got to, because you did take it so, like, your couch interviews with these girls was so good, man.
Thank you.
Such a good conversationalist.
Yeah.
And it was like watching a talk show with these porn stars. And then you had all the elements, like the one that you had me do, where you had people read fake. You had me write a fake.
Porn star fan mail?
Fan mail. So I wrote a fake, which was awesome. And she's on stage, and you had these comics you read. And
if you go on YouTube, put in porn star fan mail, and you'll be able to. We turned a couple into cartoons.
Great
idea.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Perfect.
One, there's a couple times in my life where I've been doing stand-up, where I'm like, this is one of the greatest comedy moments of my life. And I got to see, George Carlin, his last performance at the Comedy Store.
Holy shit. What was that like, real quick?
Amazing. And it's, like, so funny as a comedian, as you watch how these guys work, because I'm always analyzing data. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I am crazy. Like, a lot of people record their sets. I don't necessarily have to, because I'm literally doing the act and analyzing the data as it's going.
You do seem like the wheels are always
going.
But I mean, not like in a bad way, where I just feel like I just feel like you're very aware of what's happening.
Yeah, right? I mean,
and you're locked in. That's why your crowd works so good, because you're very present with everything that's happening.
Thank you. And it's like a great story was Carl LeBeau back in the day was doing the La Jolla Comedy Store. And he goes to the guy running door. He goes, how many people in there? And the guy goes, don't worry. I'll count them as I'm doing my act. Which really means he's doing his act while he's counting people in the room.
What the fuck?
Which is like some weird kind of multitasking iPhone situation.
but that's actually true what you say, because I've had people come to me and go, man, you do the same, like you're doing the same jokes a lot until you write new ones. Like, does that get boring? I was like, you don't even know what my mind's doing on stage.
Yeah.
I'm thinking three jokes ahead. I'm analyzing the crowd. When are they dropping checks? Are these people talking too much? Are they talking to the level where now I have to address it, or can I just
power through it? Do you ever talk check drops in here on the show? Have you ever talked to check drops?
I don't know if we've talked to people, but it's
talk about the check
drops. Now, you're headlining now.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
Over like last 2 years?
Last year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you hate the check drop?
Oh, it's awful.
It is,
and
like...
One club I did where they go, we're going to test it in Cincinnati and Go Bananas. They go, we're going to test out doing the check drop after your set on one of these shows. And it was night and day better, because I just didn't break any of the flow.
That's
and
the stress factor.
But now I always do crowd work during that. As soon as I see it happening, I start doing crowd work.
Oh, 100%. They have to have a giant dude sitting by the door so nobody leaves.
And guess what? Sometimes there's like that actually... you know, and I think
we should explain what the check drop is. It's during the headliner set where you have to now pay for your drinks and you have to pay for your food, and they come around and they put the checks on the table.
When you've got about 15 to 20 minutes left,
set. And it's so distracting because
it's math time.
Yeah, because now everyone's doing math. They're splitting bills. They're figuring out who ordered what. Sometimes
who ordered gratuity?
Yeah, that's the old joke. Who ordered the gratuity?
I just heard Sebastian in New York when he's like, look at these guys analyze. It's not an insurance policy.
I'm sure he's got that.
And I mean, that's what you're hoping for, is that some dude just goes, I got it, and throws down a credit card, because then
so
everyone's
they can continue
back
watching
in the show.
No.
Yeah, because you're taken out of the show for a moment, and it's really frustrating as a comic. And Adam, you talk about you doing crowd work. I have a joke in my act that is my check drop joke.
Oh, wow.
Where as soon as I see it happen, I go, okay, go to the check drop joke. It's a long story, so you don't necessarily have to pay attention for the entire one. You can just kind of come in and out as you please, and it's about a five-minute bit. And, it's annoying as a comic because you're like, I shouldn't have to deal with this.
Let me ask you, have you ever bombed on the road?
On the road?
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens, but
it was a while ago.
I've had one bomb on the road.
Do you remember when?
Yeah.
Or where it was?
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale Improv.
And okay.
My feature.
It's funny because my last bomb was in West Palm Beach Improv in Florida. So
how long ago was that?
On the road, it was 2.5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This was like, I want to say like 8-9 years ago.
Okay.
And
where was it?
Fort Lauderdale Improv.
Love that club.
And I had let a friend of mine, the opener, I go, hey, dude. I'm like too nice on the road sometimes to the people I work with because I understand like they're not making a lot of money
and they're just
trying to get to the next level. So I'm like, okay, I'll let you do what you want to do. I'll clean up. I can clean up 99% of the messes. Yeah.
Sure.
And so I had my opener doing 15. Then I had a guest spot come in there and do 10. So
okay, which is already longer than most guest spots do.
Most time. Then my feature, I don't want to say his name, goes up, runs a light, and does 40.
All right. That's a show.
That's the show,
That's
dude.
That's a show right there.
I walk up to checks being dropped.
Yeah.
I've never been like... And, dude, I literally was like, at one point, I've never said this in a room where I've lost everybody. Nobody's listening to me right now.
Right.
And you know me. I go into Vietnam. Yeah. I'm Patrick Swayze, Roadhouse. I'm looking for left boots. Yeah. I'm ready for anything.
There's no hole you can't dig yourself out of.
No.
Yeah.
Except for this one.
This one. It was just like the guy went too long. It was a late show. Right.
There is something great, though, as much as that sucks. Like, there's something great about, like, knowing that, like, how... and I feel like the more crowd work I'm doing, I'm getting to a point where there's no situation I feel like I can't handle, like, rowdiness or distraction or whatever, to be able to reconnect the crowd.
Your stand-up Swiss Army knife, Adam Ray.
No, but, like, and I've watched you do it a lot at the store, and I definitely... you and Harlan Williams are the reason I started, like, really actively doing crowd work.
No, really?
Yeah. So anyway, my point being, it is kind of not cool, but just interesting to hear that there was one time that you literally couldn't, like...
Well, because if you think about it, it makes sense.
I'm sure you got back on track, but like...
Oh, yeah. No, like, it was literally a bomb of fuck of, like... it started good, and then it went really bomb.
Yeah.
And then
Do you remember
went,
anything you were saying to try to, like...
No, I just at some point, I'm like, I've lost everybody. What the... And I have this thing where I can flip it by, like, going at them.
Yeah,
and usually they come back.
Yeah.
They think that's funny.
They laugh. They're like, oh, yeah, we are shitty right now.
Once the blue moon, they'll be like, oh, are you yelling at us now? And that's what happened here.
On top of not making us laugh.
Yeah. Now you're not funny. Now you're angry. Check, please.
Oh, wait, we already paid it.
Yeah, we already paid the check.
See you later.
And I forgot something you were talking about earlier about, like, oh, the email that you got. And, like you know, my people watch you do that set. And, like, one person emailed you and was upset about
By the
that.
Way, one, yeah.
In a weird way, that got... In a weird way, it kind of got the...
Only, like, 6 or 7 tweets, a couple direct messages from people who are, like, also in the business who were, like, never seen you before. And all I can think about is that one email that was, like, you have just wronged the community of...
I think that's what's wrong with comedy. It's just like comedy clubs or anybody would take that one email, think it represents 2 billion people, and they would just blow it out. I mean, dude, the fact that you did let's say 3 million people watched your set.
Wow, that's
one guy called you.
Yeah, I know.
That's incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great odds.
You couldn't get anyone to agree on that on anything else.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, oranges or apples? Go ask those three bitches outside. They'd be like, I don't know. And you're like, fuck, I can't get consensus from 3 chicks on fruit. Right? But you're asking everybody to agree with you on tranny ass.
And they followed him on it. They're like, I'm liking these jokes about the transsexuals.
I think chicks with dicks,
let's do it.
Where we're going wrong is that we keep allowing the few to dictate to the masses.
Yes.
Like, if I do a comedy club, I know this, and like... I don't always get ass back to every comedy club, but I don't care because I know when it's a good show.
You're putting on the show that you're
going to
put
leaving
on.
With no merch.
Yeah.
If I'm leaving with no merch and
you
a line around ass
you
to tell me
all
how much,
your stuff.
I know
you're
I did
good.
Well.
Right. You said you just did that in your home club, right?
Yeah. It was great.
Syracuse?
I did the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, it's going to be a shitty week, bro. I'm like, well, you're bringing me home to hang out with my mom. That's really all I want to do.
I got my trip covered. It's fine.
As long as you acknowledge it's going to be awful and not expecting miracles from me, yeah, I'll go in there. Because sometimes they'll do that. They'll be oh, we're going to give you a little less money. It's going to be a bad week. And then when it's a bad week, they're like, how's it a bad week? I'm like, well, that's what we agreed upon. You're calling me in because you know it's going to be hell.
Because you put a show on versus the Super Bowl. We acknowledge that five people are going to show up.
I think I've played every holiday this year. I think I've literally...
For real?
Like, me and Hallmark are just killing it during holidays.
What's a flag day turn out?
It's fucking awful. But here's the thing. Like, I did the 4th of July.
Notorious bad comedy weekend.
Over and under, the staff had it at 20.
Unless you're Will Smith.
Unless it's Will Smith and Aliens. Oh, staff had it over and under at 20 people in the crowd.
Wow.
Over 80 showed up, which in a normal day would be horrible.
Yeah, that'd be death.
But 4th of July,
that's killer.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
And by the way, in a place, and here's what else you're fighting, that was New York, right?
Yeah, upstate.
Yeah, so that's in a place that normally has shitty weather, so the 4th of July, that's their time. Like, we have to all go outside.
Cabin fever, man.
You have to go outside. So it's very hard to get people to come into the comedy club when you're doing a weekend like that. So the fact that you got that, fucking great.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That's a win. You know
Isn't
what I mean?
Isn't it crazy that we work best when it's fucking freezing? Like, that's the prime times to work.
Yeah, like, I'll go to Pittsburgh and do the Pittsburgh Improv, and it'll be like the first sunny weekend they've had in 4 months, and I'm just they're going, fuck.
Yeah, right?
God damn it. Why is it nice outside? Why can't it be a blizzard tomorrow?
I always show up and they're like, oh, dude, should have been here last week. It was packed. This week, man, God, it's the pumpkin festival, man. It's like, you should be there. It's like pumpkins, naked chicks. Everyone's there. I don't even know why I'm here. I wish I was.
Chicks dressed in pumpkin outfits with pumpkin spice titties. Have you been trumped by weird festivals like that?
Oh, wait. Dude, literally all the time.
Name some of the weirdest festivals.
I was in Central California. It was the Avocado Festival. I couldn't sell a damn ticket.
Yeah, but
really?
That's a big deal. Yes.
See, Brad,
I get that, though.
Brad, I feel like you sell out everywhere you go all the time, and it's just like some fuck. You're like,
I'm glad that reputation is out there.
I feel it is for you. I feel like the glory. Well.
That's exactly
how
it is.
You have a great career going. That's what I feel, man.
That's well.
You know what?
He does well.
Exactly
he doesn't do avocado well.
I mean, who could compete with avocados?
Every week, to me, it's like the deer hunter.
They're ripe for like 5 minutes. How the fuck do I compete with that?
You kill it, though, dude.
Your 5 minutes is stronger than an avocado's 5 minutes.
That's saying something, and I think the good people of Subway might object to you, but other than that, I'm doing okay.
I'm sure you're killing it. I've heard nothing but amazing things about you on the road.
Thanks, buddy.
So it's really fun to watch people grow.
Well, hey, I heard about you recently because I was over at a Jumbo's Clown Room.
Oh, yeah.
Please tell the audience what that place is.
Jumbo's Clown Room, if you took a lot of LSD and then went inside a strip club, that is what Jumbo's Clown Room is. It's right off Sunset Boulevard. Pictures of clowns on the walls. It's burlesque dancing. So it's not like just...
It's not nudity. It's
bikinis.
It's like really hot, tatted
skin.
Up chicks.
Yeah.
In bikinis doing... Or just any kind of outfit doing amazing burlesque.
Yeah, one guy had an Akeem Olajuwon jersey on.
It was awesome.
Shout out to 1994.
Hey, shout out to Otis Thorpe. Shout out to Otis Thorpe.
There we go.
Drink 12 for the first Otis Thorpe reference on this podcast. So I'm there in Jumbo's, and there's a dancer that came over and goes, I think I know who you are. Who are you? And I go, oh, my name's Brad Williams. And she goes, you're a comedian, aren't you? I go, yeah, I'm a comedian. She goes, like Sam Tripoli.
Yeah.
And I went, hey.
Boom, I'll
look
take
at that.
Take
like,
it,
not like George Carlin.
Yeah.
Not like Russell Peters or any of those.
Not like Rita Rudner.
Not like Rita Rudner. Well, I mean, who is Rita Rudner, really?
There's only one Rita Rudner.
There's only one Rudner. I think she's putting on that one act at the Mirage in Vegas.
There's only one
That's
Rudner.
When she just finally, like, loses it, and she's just like, there's only one. She got in a conversation where somebody was like, someone's doing some of your shit, Rita. Like, they're like starting to like try to be the new you. And she's like, there's only one Rudner.
Yeah. Nothing's weirder than when a chick goes third person. That's some weird shit.
You will eat Jessica's pussy.
What?
Where'd
that come from?
Yeah, when's Jessica showing up?
Who is Jessica?
Yeah, no. I'm Jessica.
Where did you start comedy?
I started stand-up comedy in Las Vegas. And it's very interesting because Vegas has a kind of growing comedy scene right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, there's like six or seven clubs.
Right. And South Point Casino does a midnight show on Fridays. That's like
dirty at 12:30. It's great.
Yeah, dirty at 12:30. My buddy Gabe Lopez.
Yeah, great guy.
Puts it on, and it's a fantastic show.
It's packed.
If you're ever in Vegas.
And people like, everyone's like, hey, dude, we should do a dirty show too. And it's like, it's finally.
When you started, though, it wasn't like that, huh?
Oh, dude, when I started doing comedy, man, everybody wanted to be Seinfeld. He's kind of the gold standard. You know, everybody wanted to be Seinfeld and wanted to have very clean observational stuff. That's not me. And Seinfeld's one of my favorites.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, the notion that if you work this way, better things will happen. I just don't get it. It's like, you know, it's like you have a voice inside you, whatever that voice is. That's the best you can be. If you follow that voice, you do that voice, that's the best you can be. Now, the whole notion is maybe if we all work a certain way, we could be Russell Peters. That not everybody can be Russell Peters.
Right.
Not everybody can be Michael Jordan. Some people can only be Craig Hodges. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of Bill Cartwrights out there.
Yeah. But they work, they make money, and they're the best.
And they're essential to what's happening.
Exactly. So, like, I
always... Can't win those titles without Horace Grant.
100%. Horace Grant.
Dude.
All those guys. Robert Ory should be a Hall of Famer. That's a whole different...
He will be.
He should be.
He might not be.
Which is crazy. Like, you don't win that many championships. And if he was just a guy on the bench, like, hey, I
Mark
was just having to be there.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
No, he's the guy hitting the threes that are daggers and murdering them.
Right, yes.
He's not.
That are either putting them over the top or getting them back into the game.
There's a reason why three different teams he was on, won championship.
That's insane, by the way.
Not just a championship, multiple championships.
Yeah. Rockets, Lakers, Spurs. So he's good.
You know, I grew up.
By the way, that's three of the five starting lineup for the Houston Rockets 94
That will be the name of this episode.
Otis Thorpe, Olajuwon, Robert Ory.
Shout out H-Town.
Yeah, we've got at least 30 minutes left to get our Vernon Maxwell, Kenny Smith name dropping.
Hey, Kenny Smith, fuck Clyde Drexler. He made that team, bro.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won the year before, but it was
talking
cool
about the original Rockets. Oh,
okay.
Vernon Maxwell, I'll give it to you. I'm very much a Vernon Maxwell guy.
Matt,
like,
me too.
Sometimes I want to go Matt into
Max.
The crowd and start choking people.
Who did he choke again?
Well, he had a kid that passed away, and like he was playing, and somebody made a comment in the crowd, and he goes into the crowd and starts whacking
him.
And I'm like, hey, dude, I'm cool with that.
Yes,
I'm cool with that.
I'm all right with that.
Now, are you
on the line somewhere?
Yeah, see, now, and maybe Artest had something like that with the water.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, I mean, the whole notion that you're just supposed to sit there.
No,
I can play so far, but once in a while, you're going to go somewhere. Where, okay, man to man, let's have a little discussion.
Yeah,
right.
There's this kid on Twitter that recently started going at me for some stupid thing I put on. He said it was someone else's joke, and it's so simple. It's not even a joke I'm doing. It's for some personal for myself. Mm-hmm. But he started like doing. I'm like, dude, are you the comedy police? Shove the badge up your ass. Oh, is that supposed to be funny? I go, okay. Comedy's a small world. I'm going to see this kid, and I'm going to beat the fuck out of him. Yeah, I'm going to beat the fuck.
You're a fighter.
I'm not a fighter, but I'm going to let him know that, you know what? Sometimes you're going to say some shit, and it's going to come back at you.
Yeah.
You can the Twitterverse, nobody can touch each other.
Yeah.
Comedy store, I'll fucking choke you out.
And by the way, if
I'll go Maxwell on you.
I'll go Vernon Maxwell on you.
If
who do we got left?
Bouncers. If the bouncers see Tripoli and some no-name guy, who do you think they're helping?
They're not going to help anyone. They're keyboardists in Death Cab for Cutie. I mean, we got emos bouncing at that place.
Yeah, man.
And they got one big black bouncer, and all I do is see him hitting on white chicks. I've never seen anybody fighting anybody. But back to what I was saying.
Vegas.
So I was a very – I grew up on, like, Dice, Sam Kennison, Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, Bill Hicks, you know, and it's very interesting that the only one that's still alive and doing it is Dice. You know, all the rest have passed. But I loved edgy, you know, in-your-face stuff.
Were you that type of person too?
Like,
or did you turn into it because you were influenced by those comics?
Maybe a little both.
Yeah.
Maybe a little both.
But like at school, how were you funny to your friends and stuff?
I was just quick-witted.
Yeah.
Always. I was just, you know what's so funny? When we were kids, we never swung on each other. We did for a little while, and then everybody kind of agreed, like, hey, dude, this sucks.
Yeah, nobody wins here.
Yeah, nobody wins here.
Because somebody takes our lunch because we abandoned our lunch to fight, and we go back to school with bruises. Chicks don't like bruises.
No,
like
chicks don't dig bruises.
Yeah, doesn't work. Yeah.
But so we became verbally abusive. Like,
That's awesome.
We would just sit each other. There was a booth at a place called Pontillo's Pizza. And there's this one booth. And whoever got into the end of the booth just got laid into by everybody. And
because they're all facing them like a roast almost.
And just anything. It would just start murdering each other. And because, you know, it's like my generation was the first of the broad divorce generation where their parents started getting divorced. And like that was psychologically messing with a lot of people at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because no one else was going through it. This was like kind of the first generation where it's like mass divorce is happening.
Yeah. Why couldn't it be like the 50s where the guy just went out and banged all the broads he could, Mad Men style, came home, kept the family together. Yeah. What the fuck?
I'm paying bills. I'm paying for diapers. Zip it.
All right. So you guys would like Yo Mama joke each other. And
oh, but like we would lay into
so, like, you
verbal
would,
look.
So your buddy who was going through a divorce, you would like...
He would lay into me, and then I would lay into him, that we'd just lay into each other, and I got very thick-skinned through that.
Sure,
you know, I got the feelings of verbal abuse pounded out of me very early.
Mm-hmm.
So, which later on in life comes a very powerful tool for myself, but back then... And then I got to go the triply low blow, which I go to college. College changes everything because I was super funny in high school. But in my high school, funny wasn't sexy yet. Funny was like okay, you're funny, but
you're a clown.
You're a clown. Yeah. You're an idiot. You're whatever.
Right. You're an idiot for being funny. That's fucking nuts. There was a time when that's how it was.
Well,
being
somebody told me that if I didn't know you, I think you were retarded. That I was
because you were
told that by a friend of mine.
And you know what though? That's a like because maybe comedy like was it just didn't have the it wasn't revered to be like a really smart thing.
Yeah.
But also like they would say that because they couldn't have a comeback for what you said.
100%.
So that was their defense. That's all they got. You fucking dude, what are you stupid for saying something like
that? What are you an idiot?
Yeah. Which when you think about it, it's like that's the stupidest thing you could say.
Right.
100%.
You should just say bravo, man. I can't come back.
Yeah.
Right.
Admit you're wrong. That should happen.
Admit you're wrong.
So I go to college and shit changes. Like, all of a sudden, funny is sexy, and I just start going on a tear. Then I go and I join a fraternity, and I'm, lethal fast, dude. Like, I'm not waiting around for feelings.
In better jokes.
Both.
Okay, good.
Both. I mean, I'm a freak. I'm Armenian on top of that, which, like, we're shady people sexually anyways.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
What are the stereotypes of Armenian sexually?
Armenians are very conservative people, you know, but...
Right. So sexually, I mean...
Sexually, they're deviant.
I mean, it's pretty much all the bad guys in the Taken movies.
Yes. No, those are Albanians.
Oh, okay.
And they make us look like fuzzy bunnies. Albanians are even crazy. Like, Ro, the waitress. The gorgeous, like, she's Albanian.
Yeah,
that's crazy time.
Sexy, yeah,
like Albanians are known in New York City for like shooting somebody dead, calling the cops on themselves, and then waiting for the cops to show up. Like, that's the type of crazy Albanians.
Jesus.
Are.
All right,
yeah. So
Armenians aren't that.
Armenians, they're the ones who get behind girls at the clubs and go and just
But they're also the ones who, like, if you hang out by donut time enough, you start seeing like white BMWs driving around.
Oh, shit,
that, like, yeah, man. I mean, like. I've met
a million. Like, I want a bear claw. It's 2:30, and by bear claw, I mean
penis
and clit.
Yeah. One of my biggest fans early was this tranny on Melrose who looks like a chick, and she would always talk to me. And then I found out later she was a tranny, and I like at that time I'll take any fan I can get. If I can get the trannies to come check out my show, I'd be the happiest human being in the world.
Kathy Griffin has the gays.
Yeah.
You could have your transsexuals.
100%.
Perfect.
Quick question: how'd you find out?
What?
You said I found out later she was a tranny.
She told me.
Oh, okay.
They call each other special. That's why I'm a special girl. You're like, special? Like, what do you mean? Then they tell you.
Like, what, you can do, like, calligraphy?
Yeah.
Yes, I can, with my penis.
That's hilarious. So she told me. Then she would go, like, what are you? What are you? I can't tell you. I'm Italian Armenian. She's like, oh, Armenians. And she would tell me, like, their reputation being, like... Not, I love being Armenian, but the sick fucks, you know?
So did you, like, hear that and go, man, I really got to step my game up?
Yeah, I got to meet some trannies.
Wait, so, Vegas, so you're, college. You're cleaning up in college. And you're being,
and it's great. So I start doing comedy.
By the way, the amount of reception and response you're getting from now, people not being like, you're an idiot, being like, dude, please... You're getting invited to more shit, right?
Yeah.
People want you around. So that's that's building your confidence in being funny, right?
Right. Yeah. 100%. And so I started doing stand-up, and I was,
Somebody tell you, or did you just start to do it?
Well, I joined an improv troupe thinking that was stand-up. I didn't know what stand-up was.
What was the troupe called? Do you remember?
It was a college troupe, but they brought me to another troupe, and then we hated... the guy who ran everything because he was just shady. So we
and that guy, Mario Elie of the Houston Rockets.
There we go.
Well done.
He's never
Adam,
there.
Right.
He
well
always
done.
Had a basketball. I'm like, this isn't basketball
I
practice.
I should have said Matt Bullard.
Like, don't pass. Yes, and. We need yes, yes and. So we quit. We started a group called The Mutiny. And ooh. To this day, the mutiny just, I think, ended.
I like that.
Let's just first not brush over Brad's response to the whole.
Well, because normally, like, improv troupes are so, like, we're the Zip Zap Zops. Yeah. You're like, oh, God, yeah. Fucking kill yourself.
By the way, Brad was kicked out of the Zip Zap Zops
all right.
two weeks ago.
To you, no callbacks?
To you Zip Zap Zops, fuck you out there. You want a dwarf on your troop? You hide his pieces of shit?
Yeah, we're just worried that every suggestion would be Wizard of Oz, so we just want to go... We just want to go a different way.
Every scene, they're like, man, we're on space. And Brad's like, anybody want a lollipop?
Oh, it's a colonial America. You're a cobbler. I'm a lollipop. Damn it, Brad.
Yeah. Every sketch you ruin with the fucking Munchkin song.
Like Jimmy Fallon laughed in every sketch. I just come in. Not again.
That's hilarious.
Not again.
All right, so Mutiny's performing.
Mutiny performs and does really well. And we pick up. This guy, Victor Isaac, who's a comedian, actor in L.A. now, was like, you're really funny. You should do stand-up. And I'm like, that's what I've been wanting to do. He's like, come do it. So he brings me to this open mic. In Vegas at the time was like 95, 96.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was one open mic every other week.
Oh, boy.
In the
that's
whole,
not enough.
Yeah.
In the whole city.
Of Las Vegas.
Of Las Vegas.
The city of entertainment.
One open mic.
Jesus Christ.
Every other week.
Where and you can't get everyone's trying to make it.
And if you don't know anything about comedy, if you're just starting out, you can't just go, oh, there's a bunch of shows in Vegas. You can't get on those shows.
Oh, like, no. Especially then. Then they didn't use any local comedians.
Right.
Now that's all they use are local comics.
Yeah.
And you could be dirty. We'll get into that. But so I go do this open mic. And the first time I gig, I destroy.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you destroy your first time, you're like, I'm the chosen one.
Right.
I'm the chosen
one. I'm the next
guy. You know, I thought I was going to be what Gerard Carmichael is right now. You know, doing comedy for 2 weeks, doing HBO specials.
Right.
Super crushing it, you know. That didn't go. That's not how it went. Next show, I bomb. I bombed so hard. Now I'm chasing the dragon. You know what I'm saying?
Because you've had it.
I've had a taste. Like. I want to get a shot again. Yeah. I need it. So I realize I can't do an open mic once every 2 weeks. No matter where you are doing, I've said this on podcasts before, no matter where you are, you could be doing an open mic on Mars. Someone be like, you know, New York City, they get 5 spots a night. That's where that's the mecca of comedy.
Right.
So
right,
you're
right.
Like, fuck, I got to get up a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At this point, I decide to make my own shows. Mm-hmm. So I literally, every night, I go find a different bar, and I go, what's your slow night? Blah, blah, blah. Give it to me. And I would create my own comedy nights where I hosted.
Right.
I was a black comedian before I even knew there was a black comedy scene. Have you ever done black comedy shows?
Yeah.
The host is the show. The other comedians are commercial breaks in between the 30 minutes of each comedian.
Yes.
The host has no concern about anybody else. No.
Yeah. I once made the mistake of agreeing to headline a black comedy show, and after the host did a tight 45, then we started the show, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going on for another 3 hours.
Who did we talk about this with? With Dion Cole about how like we both the first few times, like first all-black show I did was hosting for Sinbad at the Ontario Improv, and I, for whatever reason, thought I needed to get up there and go, how y'all feeling tonight?
Black guys,
I've never
white
said
guys
that
love
at
doing
any
that.
Show.
Yeah, we all. I made that mistake,
and Sinbad was even like, "Yo, man, just do you, man.
Yeah,
like, that ain't you. So be you.
Yeah.
They're gonna like you. They came here for me, but they're gonna like you too."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You're right, man.
It's so true, man."
Then
I grew
Adam
up.
Adam Ray got to say the words, "You're right, Sinbad," and then like die a happy man.
Is he in your phone?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was one of the best weekends of my life because, and we'll get back to this real quick, but he. Was the first stand-up my dad showed me. First comedy I remember seeing was John like Belushi, SNL stuff, being like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is he doing?
How old are you when you saw
Belushi?
Stand-up SNL for the first time.
Oh, my parents were still together, so that was... thanks for bringing that up. That was... I don't know, like I was maybe 7 or 8.
See, that's the thing, and I don't want to go off, but everyone racks Saturday Night Live. Like, they're like, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. Because it's not for you. It's for... the 13-year-olds and 14. We, staying me and up my on best friend in night. High school yeah. used to watch it at night and reenact yeah. every sketch yeah. in school the next day.
Dude,
for
in
everybody.
In high school, we would have parties to watch it when Will Ferrell was doing the cheers. Yeah. We would silly on a Saturday night go to somebody's house and hang out and do whatever high school. And everyone's trying to finger chip, whatever. There's other shit going on. But SNL's on, when it was on, everybody right. came in to watch it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is and Lauren is actually quoted as saying everyone's favorite cast is the cast you saw in high school.
Yeah. Like 100%.
Because that's when you discovered it and went, oh my God, this is awesome.
And so, it's meant for kids, yeah. you know? So yeah. people rack it. But back to what you're
saying. But so Sinbad, was the first stand-up I saw, and then some, when I brought my dad out when I hosted for him in Ontario, and so we got to see him live, and I was on the show. It was awesome. But Sinbad loves basketball so much. We would stay at the improv till 2, 3 in the morning, talking all sorts of shit. Obviously, like,
you're just telling me a black guy loves basketball. I don't know if I believe this story, Adam Ray. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've lost me.
Easy, lollipop. So
I'm not talking about Sinbad loves basketball.
Yes.
And are there any black tiny people comics?
Canada Jet Smith.
What?
Are there any black tiny
comics?
That's a
great question.
I've never met.
Because there's two things people love. Tiny people.
Sure.
And black people.
Oh, my God.
If there was a black tiny person,
it's over.
All heads would explode when they walked on stage.
Slay, I've never seen a black dwarf stand-up. Holy God. I got.
That would be the only black.
What would his name be?
Here's the only black stand-up.
Selwyn.
The only black midget that I heard is famous is the guy who sometimes plays Mr. T on Hollywood Boulevard, who gets arrested for blowing dudes in the parking lot.
Yep.
Right?
That's my friend Selwyn.
Justin Martin, I go, for your birthday, I'm going to get you a blowjob from Mini T. And he'd be like, oh, why are you doing that? I go, if I'm a gay guy, that's the trifecta.
Black, dwarf, gay, done.
Famous, black, dwarf, so interracial.
After he blows him, does he go, I swallow the fool.
There you go, dude.
Wow, that's crazy. Sinbad knows everything about basketball. His story.
He's a huge Sixers fan, right?
He loves the Heat, like LeBron and D Wade are his dudes. But yeah, maybe Sixers.
Because back in the day, when the Sixers were taking on the Lakers,
probably.
He was talking about how much Philly needs this championship.
Oh, for real? Oh,
okay.
So you know, so know, yeah, he's a huge
that. We could all, by the way, if this was a separate podcast, we could talk hoops for I feel like 10 hours. And one thing I do want to talk about before we get back to the Sam Tripoli comedy story is our relationship with hoops, because when I broke my ankle playing basketball, it was because of and I always reference you in it. I go, I was receiving a Sam Tripoli chest pass on a fast break, and
I throw thumbs out.
And what happened? And we were killing it this day. I think we played like 6 games at this elementary school in Beverly Hills, and which was just the best. And outdoor basketball is the best, but this court was the worst. But you didn't care because you're having such a good time.
Yeah,
so I'm running downhill on a fast break, and I go to the left, and then I hear Sam like, Ray, and I turn to the right to cut back, and a beautiful chest pass coming my way. But my foot was like, hey, man, you were going that way. Now you're going that way? That ain't cool.
Yeah, but there's one thing I'll say about you, Adam, is like, you're a great comic, but you are not a gentle, delicate basketball player. You are a bull in a china shop. I was like, when you played in the rec league, I'm like, oh, I got to cover this dude. We're going to be banging, dog.
That was you were the only, you were one of two people other than Willie Mack that would like really be physical. And I love that shit because I never complain about when I get it because I know that I dish it back out. So when there are people like Sam that come along that are like, I'm going to fucking grab your jersey. I'm going to fucking elbow you. I'm going to like deny you when you're running down court, just jogging down court.
This was Bill Laimbeer against Kurt Rambis.
Holy shit.
One time, Brett Morin had the balls in a blowout win over us to try to do an alley-oop to Willie Mack at the end of the game. And I grab Willie Mack and I go, dog, you're going to pay for that. He goes, well, I'm going to fucking rack you, dog. So next time we play, he goes around the thing and I just come up and I just lay the hardest screen on this dude. He comes out. Boom! And he's like, what the hell? I go, don't ever oop on me again.
Don't ever oop on me. Yo,
I'm old school, dude.
Please, hashtag Sam Tripoli. Don't ever oop on me.
If you don't
especially
make
when you're blowing me out.
If you don't make that t-shirt with your face, don't ever oop on me.
Whenever I see Willie, I know I go, dude, we're going to bang. All love. He goes, I got it. And we go away.
Yeah. You have to have that mutual respect. But it's also like you and I, like, you know, a great respect off the court.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's what makes it fun on the court. But also, like, hey, man, a little bit of that respect off the court goes out the window when you get on the court. Because, like, when like he would literally, like, there were times when I'm just like, fuck, it was making me work harder. And there was one game when I, like,
because I would have to.
Yeah.
Because you're such a bull in a china shop.
Yeah. If I got I would have to down pick low, you up, it was over. I would spin I would
have
around.
To,
yeah.
yeah. I'd have to pick you up
yeah.
at the three-point line and then body you up before you could run down
yeah.
and a set up.
Yeah. Because if you don't know about my basketball game, I was the tallest kid in sixth grade, right? So I played post. But I shot threes all day because Larry Bird was my favorite player. So I was a fucking fat, tall kid. We've talked about this with Eric Griffin.
You were our Vita Sabonis.
I was our Vita Sabonis. Eric Griffin nicknamed me Quick Fat. And it spread
that's
like,
a great name.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about making a movie about it.
Quick
I was a fat kid. I was faster than most skinny kids because I just wanted to be. But I shot threes all the time, but I was big, so I had a post game. Elijah Warren was my favorite player. I'd always spin moves. Then I get to high school, and I'm 6'1", and the centers are 6'9".
Yeah.
So I have to play a wing and shoot threes, which is fine. But I have all these post moves, so that's why in these rec leagues, when I'm not the tallest, but I'm like, and some teams I have like more.
You're Charles Barkley.
Yeah, so when I would get down there, I was so. But that's why you would just D me up out of the lane.
Yeah. And well, he's used to playing against like tall, thick black guys, and now in the rec league, he's going up against Mark Saratella.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just like, holy
You're
shit.
A big boy for that league.
Yeah.
Then we had Mark. Do you remember Mark, the white guy on our team?
Yeah.
We called him White Howard.
White Howard.
Dude, he was and lefty, dude.
Yeah, he changed the league because now everyone's like, nobody could cover that guy.
Yeah.
And then it became an arms race.
Yeah.
Who can get him?
Now everyone's got like D1 players who did 5 minutes at the Comedy Store on a Sunday.
So fucked now. I know. It's so like the Glassmans, Rick Glassman and Brent Moore, and their team wins because they got this guy named Kurt. They're great. Rick and Brent are great players, but Kurt is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And I don't think I've ever, and when you bring up to them, this is a comic league, right? Kurt's on stand, they go, yeah, don't worry about it. And then they're like, he did one show one time. He's never done a show since.
Dude, when Brett Morin's coming off your bench, you got a good team.
Yeah, I know.
That kid can hit.
Oh, yeah. He's
streaky. Back to Vegas, right?
Back to Vegas. Yeah. Oh, but real quick, I want to hear what you think about, because you're a diehard Clippers fan. I want to hear what you think about LeBron, because we haven't talked about it since it happened.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's changed the NBA. If you watch, before he makes that move, everyone's gearing up
waiting.
Super teams.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to try to get Carmelo Anthony to come to
Vegas. Professor X of basketball.
It's a brilliant
Wherever he goes,
move.
The rest of the X-Men follow.
He just needs one more championship in Cleveland, and he's going to be celebrated as one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, because that one in Cleveland will make up for the 7 years he was there and didn't get one, and the fact that he went away and got two in 4 years.
100%.
I don't know why people brush by that so quickly. We're gonna get
four, we're gonna get seven, we're gonna get 20, we're gonna beat fucking Capri Suns for everybody.
Yeah.
Like all these promises. But like still to get two in 4 years is incredible.
4 years in a row.
And it's amazing. And you're going to the finals. And any Miami Heat fan that's like, fuck that guy for leaving us.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I've never heard one guy. They found one dude on ESPN. They just ran that out.
They just ran that clip over and over again.
But everyone's like, he got us 4 years in a row. It's just like, there's nothing you could do about that. And everyone gives him shit that he's chasing this. It's like, at the end of the day, it's a different time.
Yep.
Okay. Jordan, Bird, Magic, who everyone says everything about, they were lucky enough to play in giant markets with no salary cap for the most part. A very loose salary cap. It was easy to buy and sell everything. And then, excuse the word, their classic rape trades, which I hope nobody gets offended by that, but that's the best way of saying it, in that the Lakers used to trade like, hey, you draft Magic Johnson. We want him. Here's a sandwich, okay? You get a sandwich. Go through the trades.
Is it
salami,
down?
Though?
Yes.
Is it salami?
It is salami.
Okay.
It's Italian.
All
salami,
right.
Ham, and a turkey.
Capicola. Okay.
100%. Right.
That's a pretty good sandwich.
Yeah. But if you go back and look at those trades, the Lakers destroyed everybody in those trades.
Yes, we did.
If you look at the actual trade for Chris Paul that they made, it was going to be a classic Laker rape trade.
Oh, shit.
They were getting the number one player, draft picks, losing $40 million in salary. And Dan Gilbert's like, uh-oh, whoa, 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 whoa. How is this working out? And they killed it. And they should have killed it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so it's totally different things. So you could say Jordan stayed, nobody chased him. Well, they were in big markets with no salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, it's hard.
I think the conversation is going to eventually stop with everyone being like, Jordan, Bird, Matt. Like, eventually, that, like, we're going to stop comparing the times because you can't, like, they're not comparable.
You can't.
Jordan was obviously the best ever because his game is incredible, but he also globalized the game. And LeBron is just riding Jordan's coattails of what he did as far as globalizing it. But he also have to be that good to have every sponsor.
He's so good. Yeah. I mean, like, it makes me sad because Larry Bird's probably going to leave the Mount Rushmore. Because that's who he's going to... I mean, if you look at who's on Mount Rushmore, who's vulnerable at this moment is Larry Bird because he didn't play that long.
Right. LeBron's also been dope in his... From the beginning, man.
Dude, first game, from 25 points against the Sacramento Kings. They made a commercial making fun of all the hype that he's playing against the Kings.
Yeah.
And then he goes and plays against the Kings. First game, 25 points.
By the way, there's a family in Wisconsin, a family of seven, sharing a bowl of SpaghettiOs right now, listening to this podcast, going like, yeah, talk more about a guy deciding where he's going to go, continue to be a billionaire.
Yeah, well, he's brilliant.
But you know what? Yeah, he deserves every penny, man.
The he guy deserves. Fucking,
he's going to make Cleveland, he's going to make that city relative again. And the businesses are going to flourish off of one person.
100%.
He's a guy, like, when, you know, A-Rod didn't deserve all that money because he's a prick and he's...
He cheated.
LeBron deserves everything that comes to him.
Dude.
25 humans, points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 steals.
Almost a triple-double.
Yeah,
LeBron
first
is the
game.
You're gonna only
you're
gonna
one. Read it as Brad Williams, you're going to read it as Bill Walton.
As Bill Walton? Do I have a Bill Walton
impression?
No, you
don't. That's why I want to put you on the spot.
20-shot.
LeBron James. No, that's Marv Albert. That's Marv Albert. Okay.
I'll take Marv.
What's Bill Walton's...
Like okay. He's
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. How could you ever call foul on Michael Jordan? He's one of the best ever. He would always, when the Sonics played the Bulls, he would
throw
just stroke.
It down, big man.
Yeah, he would stroke Jordan's cock every game, every foul. Why would you ever call a foul on the greatest of all time?
Yeah.
Gary Payton is one of the best defensive players, but he does foul.
Yeah.
It was like, shut the fuck up, Bill.
If you look at LeBron James versus the Mavericks, in the first, no, who they lose to the first time with the Heat? The Mavericks? Was it the?
Yeah, the Mavs.
LeBron James is the only guy I know who gets a triple-double in the finals and gets shit for it.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't show up. I'm like, the dude had a triple, like 19 points, like 16 rebounds, 15. It's like some insane, like, that's how great he was. Dudes that big aren't meant to move that fast.
That's like when Forrest Whitaker won his Academy Award, and they're like, yeah, but when you know, when he would come into the craft service, he'd look at him with his lazy eye, not his good eye.
Yeah.
Like, dude, how picky you want to get?
It's crazy,
like,
right?
Well, he did make Ghost Dog. Shut up. He's got an Academy Award.
Ghost Dog?
Yeah, that was a Ghost Dog reference. How about that?
You mean Ghost Dad.
No, Ghost Dog.
Or do you mean Snow Dogs?
No.
You mean Phenomenon. John Travolta.
Forrest Whitaker was in a movie called Ghost Dog.
By the way, we just went from Ghost Dog to Ghost Dad to fucking what?
Snow Dogs.
Phenomenon. Say that 10 times fast, by the way.
Cuba Gooding Jr. was the Snow Dogs. Forrest Whitaker was in Ghost Dog, which is about him being
Bill Cosby
ninja.
Was in Ghost Dad.
Yes.
You know what's so weird? It's like these actors who get like out of nowhere get these Academy Award nominations, and then they win, and then like their next movie is such dog crap.
Yeah.
And it's like, it almost like really hurts their career. You know, it's like.
Are you talking about Halle Berry?
I'm talking about a bunch of people.
Are you talking about Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Snow Dog? You follow Snow Dogs? Is that's the next movie you put out?
Are you talking about Hilary Swank following up her performance in Boys Don't Cry with The Core?
She's so interesting. She's won two, and then you don't hear from her hardly at all.
Yeah, crazy, right? Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr., has anybody else done that where they've gone from Jerry Maguire to Snow Dogs? That was a paycheck movie, too. He also did that Cruise movie with Beyonce.
Unbelievable, right?
By the way, I really enjoyed saying Ghost Dog, Ghost Dad, Snow Dogs, Phenomenon. If you can say that 10 times fast and send me an audio clip of that.
you too will impress quick.
Actually, you know what would be great if that was like a four-pack of movies at Costco? Morgan Freeman did a commercial for it, and he was like, hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. When you're doing your holiday shopping this summer, go off out. Let me start over. Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. When you're looking to get some movies that you really enjoy and the whole family's coming into town, there's only four movies I can recommend. Ghost Dog, Ghost Dad, Snow Dogs, Phenomenon. It's the four pack of the essentials of Hollywood. Cuba Gooding, Bill Cosby, Forrest W., and Johnny T.
Oh my God, that's so
somebody's
great.
Getting a hand job in a massage parlor. Like, somebody's dying and coming back as a dad. Somebody's taking dogs on the ride for their life. And Ghost Dog, I have not seen.
You mean you haven't seen Ghost Dog: The Way of the Samurai, 1999's runaway classic?
I would, if you would have told me that was a samurai movie, I would never have guessed that in a million years.
Yeah, it's a samurai.
That's my favorite part of any movie title: the blah blah blah, and then the after the colon. Like, what was it? The rise of the samurai?
Ghost Dog: The Way of the Samurai. Let me read you the tag: an African American mafia hitman.
Whoa, start over.
What accent was that?
Akron?
Yes, he's from Ohio.
An Akron American.
Yeah, man.
Not from Cleveland, wow. Dog. I'm Akron.
He's Akron. He knew LeBron. An African American mafia hitman who models himself after the samurai of old finds himself targeted by death from the mob. Yeah, who doesn't want to go see that shit?
I actually would like to go see that.
That sounds actually
Ghost Dog, 1999. Look it up. The American feel good holiday classic.
Is there any movie you're like, I can't believe this wasn't bigger? You're like, this is so good, and it flies under the radar.
The Hurricane with Denzel Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
That was kind of big.
Yeah, you're right.
A movie called Employee
Angels,
of the Month,
Angels
not
in the Outfield.
Dane's one, which I have never seen. Probably it's great. But there's this other one called Employee of the Month that came out before that. Okay. It was written by a buddy of mine who's since passed away, Jay Leggett. And man, it is so...
Jay Leggett was in Living Color for a little bit.
Yeah, he was in Living Color.
It was hilarious.
He put me in my first movie I ever did, which is coming out called Live New Girls, which
Live
is hilarious.
Live New Girls.
I have two credits with the same name.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
but
buddy.
It was really funny. And the worst part is, like, I find out he passed away. And then, you know, I'm trying to, like, write some stuff on my website about him. And I Google, and I find out he wrote this movie, which I thought was one of the... I wish I never had a chance to tell him how great that movie was. That movie was edgy before edgy became cool now,
oh,
where,
shit.
Like, you were, you know, with Workaholics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it was really edgy. It was so good. I did a scene of it in one of my acting classes
at
the Beverly Hills Playhouse.
Okay.
Which I used to love to be there. I used to bang chicks on the main stage.
All right.
I went to rehearsal. Why we were rehearsing at night, they always wanted you to do one thing on the main stage. And I'm doing this thing, and there's this gorgeous drop dead. Imagine Tara Patrick if she was Mexican,
okay.
Which is what this girl looked like. And we're doing this scene, and she has a nighty on, and her tits pop out, and she doesn't put it back, and she just gives me the ogling look, and I'm like, pounce now. And I pounce, and I just bang this chick right there. It was one of the greatest things ever.
So any prepubescent males listening, if you're in an acting class,
yes.
And you're in...
Did you guys take acting classes?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
what I came out
here for. Great for crushing it, dude.
Yeah, but I took private lessons. You don't do that?
No.
Oh, okay. You go to the group class.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing it all wrong, people.
Yeah, you got to be around
other
people.
Well, I mean, I don't think you have a problem meeting girls, so I don't think you got that. But if you're a guy who just is out there trying to make it happen, no better place.
So that's a movie you recommend?
What?
Employee of the Month.
Oh, yeah. But so I do this scene. This is how much I love this movie. I do the scene. Afterwards, my teacher is fuming. Like, you could see smoke coming out of his ears.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me why
teacher,
I would...
Was Yosemite Sam?
Yes. Dang, damn it!
Wow.
That rabbit! So...
Why did you do that scene there, varmint?
Yeah, exactly.
You
that's
know,
great.
Brad's impressions.
Why'd you go Bill Walton? You should have gone Yosemite Sam.
But seeing Brad's face conform, he really puts a lot, like, he leaned back.
I try, man.
Like,
well, because I don't want to burst the eardrums of our listeners.
Dude, as soon as your nephew is old enough to know what cartoons are, you got to start busting out the Yosemite Sam at dinner.
Yosemite Sam! Right. I'm the rootinest, tootinest cowboy in the West.
My God.
Yeah, you might want to shave that goatee, though.
I didn't know I had a Yosemite Sam impression.
Now you got
if I had a giant sombrero, I would stick it on your fucking head.
You should go that every year, by the way. That's who you are.
Well, he was a midget, if you remember.
Have you ever gone
can
into
we
a
say midget? I
yeah,
just kept
you
saying
say
little
midget.
People.
Tiny
I
could
person.
Do it.
Yeah.
I could do it, yeah.
Yeah,
I should go as Yosemite Sam.
Dude, it would be classic.
And then do that move where he fires the two guns on the ground, then he flies up in the air.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's what I do. That's what I do when the girl agrees to go home with me.
Oh,
she's like, yeah, I'll go home with you when I just fly up in the air.
Is there a way? Is there a way we can incorporate that into one of your naughty shows?
Fuck
like,
yeah.
He gives like the Yosemite stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Where if a chick comes out and she does a dance and it's so hot and it's so great, like almost like Star Search, instead of like, you know, 3 3/4 stars, it's 3 3/4 shoot 'em ups.
We'd have to do some kind of thing in the back.
I know, we got to do a wire thing.
Just some guy in the back.
Yo, you had national I fly up.
If you had a fog machine, you could mask the wire.
Would be awesome. So I do this guest. I do this scene.
Sorry,
I just feel like
longest Yosemite Sam tangent of all.
And it deserves. I just feel like we've gone on a million things. Anyways, I do the scene. My teacher hates it. I quit the class.
Because of that scene?
It was such a great moment. I'm like, if you don't get that, then what am I here for? I get it. We can do Shakespeare all fucking day. Don't know where that's relevant right now.
Yeah.
It's such a great movie. If you can watch the original Employee of the Month.
Okay.
All
right.
It's so fucking funny.
We all have our homework.
So anyways, I did his movie and that's it. I don't know where that story
came from. Okay. So now, let's cut to... All right. So after college, you became the super funny dude.
Yeah.
You started doing
during
stand-up.
College, yes.
Yeah, during college. And then how do you transition to coming out here and getting going to...
So I'm with the Mutiny.
Career.
I'm doing stand-up everywhere. I peak at having my Mutiny troupe in three different station casinos during the week. I have my own show at a hotel on the Sunset on the Las Vegas Strip, and I'm opening for headliners at the Riviera. At some point, I realized this is as far as I can go.
Yeah,
this is it. So I gotta go to L.A. So I go to L.A. and I'm very blessed. I had one joke that people just loved, and it was called Handicapped Stripper. And it was this real huge act out.
Was Forrest Whitaker in that one too?
Yes. It was a stripper with a lazy eye and even lazier legs. And and I did it. And people just love this joke. Because, again, everybody's trying to be Seinfeld. And that was great.
Right.
And here comes this guy. Who's
Seinfeld
just,
didn't have a handicapped stripper bit, did he?
What's the deal with handicapped strippers?
What's up with this handicapped stripper?
You tell them you're in a time crunch. They take 10 minutes to get off the stage and get to your dick.
Oh, really? I got to pay for the lap dance. And I have to lift you off the stage? Why did I just become Adam, the manager of the Comedy Store? Why, guys? So I got picked up very quickly at the Comedy Store. I got picked up Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, Improv immediately.
Okay, you're in the circuit.
And I just started doing stand-up, and things were going great. I was killing at the Comedy Store. I was getting bumped nightly by Andrew Dice Clay and Joe Rogan, Eddie Griffin. Mm-hmm. And I start doing... So I'm doing it. I get a call from these guys doing Vivid Video Comedy Tour, and they're like, hey, come do our show. And I've told this before... Where I'm going to do a show. It's in Irvine at the old Irvine Improv. And they're like, dude, you got to get here quickly or else we're going to have to put Bert Kreischer up. And you're going to have to follow Bert Kreischer. And Bert Kreischer was my friend. And he's hilarious.
And he's a monster.
And he just murders.
Yeah.
But I've been following Rogan, Dice, and Eddie Griffin doing an hour and a half. So I'm like, I should be fine.
It's making you really strong, by the way, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I mean, it's like, it's both good and bad.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. It's like I learned to follow a force of nature. But sometimes you don't always have to follow force of nature.
Yes.
And sometimes what young people who stay in L.A. too long, young comics, they don't realize that headlining is it's an arc of you. It's not L.A. sets are like boom, 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 boom. You're going like Reservoir Dogs, shooting
minutes.
As many bullets as you can, trying to get as high a body count. Whereas when you go on the road, it's about you. Levels. And
it's three acts.
Yeah.
You have a flow.
It's the experience of Adam Ray or Brad Williams. Yeah. It's the experience of that. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be murder fest the whole time. Because by the time you get 30, 40 minutes in, they're going to be beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've already seen 30, 40 minutes of show.
Of they're
crush
tired.
Fest. Got to help you
tired.
If your feature's a murderer.
Yeah. Right.
So now they got 30 minutes from him of murder fest. Then another 30 to 40 of you murder fest. They're going to be tired, dude.
They're tired, yeah.
So you have to let them breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sometimes I went straight to headliner. I wasn't blessed with having someone take me on the road because probably I was a little too high energy and too dirty for some people to want to have to follow. And I understand that, you know. So I went straight to headliner, right out the gate. Boom, there you're doing shows. And I always thought, I always treated like I was following Joe Rogan in the OR.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. So for a little while, that kind of hurt my whole
because
thing.
You were just trying to fucking knockout punch from the
right out the game. They're like, wrong hole, wrong hole, wrong hole. It's like chicks trying to grab you. So don't go back there.
You see a little bit of foreplay first. You got to build up. You got to build up.
Take it slow, man.
So I mean, you're driving down there. They say they say we're gonna put up Bert.
We're gonna put up Bert, and I love Bert. He's been a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. We met at the one night. I met Steve Byrne and Bert Kreischer in the same night, and we've been friends ever since.
That's awesome.
We did the National Lampoon's Young Comedian Special.
There it is.
And we always have. We've been very good friends since then. And so I'm like, put him up. If I get there, I get there. You know. So I get there. He's up, murdering it, murder fest. I'm like, fuck it. What are you gonna do? So I walk up. I drop my first line, crush fest. 20 minutes of just flame throwing. the room. And then I'm like, this is my crowd. That's what. And so I've always been like, how do I find my crowd? And that's ever since then, that's always been what I do. I like dark, dirty comedy. I think it's funny. A lot of people tend to think it's easy comedy. I hear a lot of people say, oh, dude, going dirty is easy. I go,
oh,
no,
God,
talking
no,
about
it's
your
not.
Kids,
no,
going
not.
To Walmart, that's easy.
Yeah.
Like Dave Attell, Joe Rogan,
yeah.
Don't tell me that's easy shit.
Yeah,
you watch those guys, you're like, holy shit.
Because guess what? Most dirty shit makes people cringe. But if you're likable and you're finding a clever way to do it with an opinion without just doing shock value shit, that's what's tough about
it. Because if you can just go on stage and say fucking anal sex over and over and over again and make $3 million a year, we would all be doing that.
Yeah,
it's
I've tried.
To do that.
The butt fucking tour never took off. I gave away free butt plugs and everything.
Jesus. I was always hoping that was going to be one of Oprah's favorite things, just like a big surprise.
Guess
like
what you're seeing, huh?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Get a butt plug. You get a butt plug. And it's, but also just the fact that it would be, because her favorite things was always like, you know, this new, like, you know, cream cheese or like this new book or this new shower curtain.
It's a pumpkin flavored bookmark. You're like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Always some weird, very specific thing. So if it was, if butt plugs followed like a pumpkin flavored bookmark.
I've just always believed in, the one thing I hated was people would always say, just be honest on stage. I'm like, that's really easy for people whose honesty is accepted by the masses. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
totally,
there's only
man.
Some kind of, like, oh, my wife is crazy. I'm being honest here. You know, it's like, that's an easy thing to accept. You know, I once got robbed by a hooker buying drugs back in the day when I did it. I got robbed by the same hooker twice in one day. Try talking about that on fucking stage. See how people want that kind of honesty.
Try talking about that on the podcast right now.
Yeah.
Can you tell that story?
Well, you know, it was just like I used to party a lot, man. You know, it's like I went through I was sober.
I used to party, but I never got robbed by the hooker.
Well, some of us party a little harder.
Is there a term for that?
It's called stupidity.
There you go.
It's called being dumb. I was an idiot. I was just like, I got sober a long time ago, and I ended up doing doing this show, and I had to do stunts, and I would get hurt, and I was like, I had to pop Vicodin to numb the pain. It was getting that bad.
Was this the Spike TV show?
Yeah, okay. And then it just started it off, and then I got into some crazy stuff, and I would always get sober, and then you get rid of your friends who could help you find the things you're looking for. So then eventually you're just like driving around trying to find somebody, and you know who's got drugs? Hookers always have drugs.
Yep.
So you're like, you know, I say it like everybody, that's a fact, but you know, it's like I'm driving by Donut Time. I'm like, is anybody here?
Yeah.
So I see this one person, girl, and I'm like, hey, get in. Hey, can you help me get some? Oh yeah, I'm like, I'll throw you a little cash if you take care of me. And I, you know, I've told this before, like, if the hooker ever grabs her purse, just know she's not coming back. That's a classic. Like, if she leaves her purse
in there. Is that in a fortune cookie, or does an old man tell you that under a bridge?
Can we get a little
what?
Buddhism here?
Listen, if a hooker ever leaves
her purse. No, do it as Michael Caine, please.
I will do it as Michael Caine.
That's much better.
Because if a hooker ever goes back for her purse, just know she's not coming back.
Yeah, there you go. Words live by. So I'm like, oh, man.
Then she was kicking around an STD the size of a tangerine.
There, got a tumor on my nuts. But that's the thing. I never was into fooling around them. I just wanted the things, give them their money, go away, and then I would just go be by myself. So I'm like, here's the money. I'll give you some cash. You can keep it. You keep the cash. Give me a little stuff, and you can go. So she would jump out. They would come, and you would be sitting there like 40 minutes in your car going, she ain't coming back, dude. She ain't coming back. So I'm like, ah, goddamn. So I drive around, and I'd be like, this sucks, man. I shouldn't be doing this. But I really want to party. Let me see if I can find anyone else. And then I'm driving. I see the same chick. I'm like, okay, dude, here's how it goes. Nobody is that cruel that they would do it twice to somebody.
You put so much faith in this donut hooker.
Humanity. So I pull up. She jumps in, and she's like, I'm sorry, baby. You know, I tried finding you. Weren't there? I'm like, okay, that's fine.
I tried finding you.
I'm like, listen, let's do this one more time. Just don't, you know,
don't
shit happens.
Yeah.
Shit happens, man. People have bad days. Who hasn't had a bad day? You just had a bad moment. We're humans. We're connecting on human levels.
This. Yeah.
here's some more cash. Pulls over, grabs her purse, goes, like, oh, damn you. And yeah, that's my story, dude.
So you got robbed by the same hooker twice. With not, I mean, just in the same day, like within an hour of each
with
other.
With like 2 hours of each other.
Wow. Hey, fool me once, I'm going to give you more cash.
Yeah, that's
fool me twice, I'm probably going to fucking take off.
That's available on samtripoli.com, that t-shirt.
Fool me three
fool
times,
me once.
You're a damn clever hooker. Sam, we got to wrap this up.
That's fine.
But your album. Let's talk about your album.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Believe in Yourself.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes.
Hell yeah.
And it did really well. And all the feedback has been phenomenal.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. But because sometimes you just troll people.
You're
like,
never not hilarious. I've seen you so many times in the last 7 years since I started. Always, whether there's four people
will
or
will you please
house.
Run show business, please? Will you be in charge of everything?
Man,
I need somebody.
He's trying to wait for that whole Jewish thing to kick in, and then all of a sudden he runs the place, but it's just not happening.
You're doing
man.
Great. Yeah, you're killing it.
I'm grinding. It's,
you're grinding.
It's a grind that
you're
never
doing
stops.
It, though. I listen. Yeah. The only time you go crazy is when you compare.
I'm not where I was 2 years ago. So, and you have to remind yourself of that. Like, you don't do it.
Because you're comparing it to what other people are doing.
That I've gotten better about not doing that, but also not like just what I don't like, what I want and don't have now. And like, I'm always looking ahead instead of occasionally going, hey, remember in 2007 when you got a coin to Jim and you thought, here we go?
Yeah.
And it took 5 more years for you to book something. Remember how shitty that time was?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and now I can do comedy more and
when was the last time you worked a day job?
2011,
dude.
When I got fired as from Wolverine.
Yeah, dude, that's amazing.
Day. Yeah,
yeah. No, you're right.
You know, I mean, you're headlining. Yeah. You were running around with Carl's Forever. And now you're doing it on your own. And
yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
We have to take stock in what we did, because then you travel the country and you see all the guys that are trying to be even where we're at and not doing it.
And it's so hard to just be like, I'm going to live in Ohio and be a headlining comedian. It's so hard now.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to be, you know, it's happy. So, I mean, especially me, dude. I mean, I've done shows where you see me DVDs where, like, everybody opening for me now has a major TV show. Yeah. You know, it's like sometimes I'm just doing Deer Hunter every 2 seconds. Like, okay, just keep it fucking going. Let's keep it going, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. So I got that. I got this my CD. If you listen to it, I know it's an hour of power. Because I'd made a mistake of not putting out a CD for a while. So this was like 4 or 5 years
It's a damn best of tour.
It really is.
Nothing but hits.
So now I'm getting ready to do my next one because I'm going to try to put out one every year and
nice,
a half.
Nice, dude.
And you can do it, dude, if you actually focus. So one's great.
Where'd you record this one at?
Edmonton. Have you ever done the Edmonton comic strip?
I have, and it's awesome.
It's like literally one of the best clubs. Have you ever played it?
No.
It's
in the middle of a mall. It's the best. Like the. All right, here's the story I tell from that club. I got that's the only time a heckler actually like checked himself. Here's how nice comedians are. He apologized. He heckled to me, and then in the perfect like Edmonton accent, just goes, "I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have yelled that out to you. That was not cool of me to do."
Dude, this guy, I'm doing my jokes. This guy goes, "Hey, dude, did you come all the way to L.A. to tell those stupid jokes?" I go, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Tell better jokes." I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here." He's like, "Okay, I'm sorry. Can I pay my bill? I want to tip out my waitress before I leave." That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "I'm sorry I did that." And he walked out.
Are these the parents from Bobby's World?
They're so nice. Like we're used to hecklers stabbing people on the way out. Like that's what
we're doing a high Hitler to me when I talk about being Jewish.
Oh, yeah,
unbelievable. I tell the new CD that I'm working on, the new hour, has a joke about me getting heckled and involves like me calling Joe Rogan because she said I did his joke and him on the phone telling her to go fuck
herself. That's on the CD?
No, this new one. I'm telling stories on that. So the album's called Believe in Yourself. It's really good. And then July 29th, my good friend Brad Williams is going to be in a show I call the Rock and Pole World Championships. And it's karaoke pole dancing. I make tag teams. I hook singers up with dancers. And it's like the old video, like the Whitesnake video, where he's like, "Here I go again."
Yes.
And Tawny Katane is just grinding on cars. And it's like tag team competition. I have Too Short is one of the celebrity judges. Tara Patrick's doing burlesque.
Who's singing?
I get contestants.
Yeah.
Let me be a contestant.
Would you do that?
You know I love to sing. You know I kill it in karaoke.
I mean, but dude, can you kill it? Because this is murder fest.
My go-to is I open with Bohemian Rhapsody when I do it.
If
what
you
does that
want,
tell you?
I can hook
I
you
set
up with
the
a
bar. To
winner gets 500 plus weed and sex toys.
Well, I mean,
can you throw in some oatmeal granola bar? Yes, all of that sounds great.
Are you
please.
Here July 29th?
I am.
All right. I will hook you up with a dancer. I'm telling you.
I was supposed to judge the roast battle, but I'm not anymore.
If you want to do it, I'll hook you up with a dancer.
So she dances while I sing, or we sing together?
No, you sing, she dances, and you guys choreograph, like talk to each other. The more theatrical the show, the better the show. He did it before.
Yeah,
it's packed
nuts.
Out. Celebrities will be there. I'm sponsored by a weed company
I'm
called
in.
Caviar Gold.
I'm in.
The strongest weed company ever. And then I also, Hustler will be there. Hustler Store's coming
He's still
down.
Trying to sell you. You're like, I'm good.
Dude, I'm in. If you have me, I will get with this chick and practice and prepare.
Yeah, just you got to go for
like
blood.
Like Michael Caine's.
And I tell people.
Did Inside Our House Rules.
Always people like, first song I'm going with this, and second song I'm going to murder them with this. I go,
no, every
you don't know
coming.
If you'll make the second round.
Yeah,
I've seen so many people, like you've seen in roast battles, they're like, I'm going to save these for the last. You're like, no. You don't know if you're going to make
out,
it to that
come out guns a-blazing.
Yeah, guns
a-blazing. Boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
boom.
We're
That's
kill
great.
It.
And then I'll be at the Madhouse during Comic-Con this weekend.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know when this comes out.
It'll
but
be after Comic-Con, but
okay.
Sorry.
Well, I was at the Comic-Con.
And how great was that?
But all your tour dates are at samtripley.com.
Yeah, me and Red Band are doing, we're doing Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, the 8th, 9th, and 10th, if you want to come see me and Brian Redband in Florida.
Go see Sam anywhere you see him in your city or if you're in L.A. Get his album because he's one of the best.
Believe
Thank
in yourself.
You, you're very nice.
Your appearance on this podcast, people are going to get your album just from this because you were so fucking entertaining. And that's what you got to do, man. You got to fucking, like, you got to make
sir.
People who don't have the album want to go get it. And you just did that.
If you listen to it, you'll love it. If you don't, I'll buy it back from you.
You know what? I'll tell you one person who's going to get it. Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yes. Boom. We worked them all in.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy. This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.